Greetings, everyone. All those who are here, just want to say thank you for being here. Praise God. And good to see everyone. And it's wonderful to see that there are people that are still being faithful on Wednesday nights. And I just really appreciate that. And I just would hope that we could go ahead and pray now and just give everything over to the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, just give you all the praise, the glory, the honor, the thanks. And Lord God, I know that you have a tender heart of mercy. Lord God, you have a tender heart towards all men. And I give you all the praise and glory for that, Lord God. And I know that all those that have needed a second chance would do the same. How we give you all the glory, Lord God, for your mercy, your grace, and the truth that is found in the gospel. The truth that is found, O Lord God, by thy loving heart. A heart, Lord God, that never fails. A heart that is faithful to all men, the world over. We give you, O Lord God, all the preeminence and the glory and the praise that is due your name by praise, worship, and honor. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. I pray, Lord, that you would take the service over now, that by the Holy Ghost, that you would lead, guide, and direct. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise
Jesus. Well, I think the song that I'm trying to think of here. Actually, it's right here. If we could go to a song, it's I think there's a printout. It's called "It Is No Secret." I don't know if anybody has it out there or what, but if we could go there, the full version of it is in print form somewhere here. And if we could just go there, if anyone needs one, there is a printout version up here, just so anyone is aware. You need one, sister? Yeah. Praise God. Okay, well, looks like we're all set there. It's called "It Is No Secret." And, you know, the Lord can do so many wonderful things. He meets people that are in prison houses. He meets people that are at their very end. He knows how to meet people right where they're at. At the very end of their rope. And there is the hope of Christ. It is no secret what he can do. Not only for me, but for you. Every one of you out there. All of you who are online. And forgive me for those that are online. I would be remiss if I didn't say welcome to you as well. And I apologize. And would just like to say that thank you for being here with us tonight, all those who are online. Amen. Okay. The chimes of time ring out. I have you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home. Wherever you may roam, there is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others. He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
We could go to number 69 in the chorus. It's called, Jesus, I Love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness. You gave me gladness. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness. You gave me gladness. Jesus, I love You. Yes, I do. I do. Yes, I do. And I know you do too.
Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Everyone out here, I know, loves the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
you. Oh, praise God. There's a song, it's called I See the Lord, number 79 in the chorus book. Perhaps we could go there. He is high and lifted up, it says here, and His train fills the temple. It does, because by His Spirit, He's everywhere at once. Even here, even in our own lives, we can look to Him and know that He can fill our hearts like He does that temple. Amen. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills. Up. angels cry holy, and the angels cry holy to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. And number 92, if we could go there, please, if you will. Be gracious enough. 92, every promise it's called. In the book is mine. Amen. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love. Divine, every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And it is so. Amen. Every promise. Every promise in the book is mine and yours. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, that's love divine. Amen. Praise God. Oh, He's gracious. I'm so grateful today for the Lord, for His sovereign hand on every life, all our lives here today. All those who are don't even know Him, who one day will come to know Him, wherever they are. The Lord is so gracious. We know He's coming back to judge, but in the meantime, He's so gracious to people. And I hope that all those who are within hearing of this will truly take it to heart. And by the love of Christ, by His mercy, grace, and truth, would be won over. That it would lead to repentance, as the Word of God says. Amen. If we could go, there's one more. I'm hoping that we can go to. It's number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Let's go there. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Oh, it's no secret at all what the Lord can do. Praise God. What a wonderful God we serve. We're just going to go ahead now and take up our tithes and offerings. And if anybody has a prayer request or anything that they would care to share, please feel free to raise your hand or even a prayer request perhaps or what have you. And we can pray with you by faith. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just want to just say thank you to the Lord for such a wonderful church, for a people that I love, for a godly standard that we're able to live after and live for. I praise God for the Holy Ghost. I praise God for what He's doing in each and every one of our lives. I know that least of all am I a work in progress among all you who are far better than I am. But I would pray that you would keep me in prayer. Keep me in prayer as a man who is wanting to live up to the sermons I preach. And likewise, I want to pray for all those who I love and care for here, and for my own loved ones at home who don't know the Lord, who are still Catholic and doing many things that I would wish that they would not do. But I praise God for their lives and would like to see people changed for His glory, and including my own. And I've got such a long way to go, but I just pray that we could all come together and just lift up holy hands and give praise, glory, and honor to the Lord who made us all in His image. And by the grace and gift of the Holy Ghost that we have. So let's pray. Sister?
I have an ongoing prayer that's been over the years. I've asked this prayer, and I know someday it will be answered. And I just want to let the Lord know that I'm going to continue to pray and ask other people to pray for my husband to not smoke.
Oh, amen.
I know that the Lord would do it, but I even told him on the way. I started back out of the driveway and I pulled back in and I said, I want to pray for you to quit smoking.
Amen.
I'll let everybody else pitch in tonight and pray again that the Lord
keeps
up His promise to hope.
Amen, and I appreciate that, Sister, and no question that your husband will one day thank you for that. As we will be praying for him in agreement and one accord, we'll come together by faith, asking the Lord to certainly do a work in your husband. God can do all things right, good, and well. I know that. So let's do that, won't we? Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Lord God, now we come to you by faith in agreement and one accord together, O Lord God, seeking thee, O Lord God, by thy grace and mercy and truth. Under the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, now we pray, asking you, Lord God, that you would bind and rebuke that smoking habit of our dear sister here. Lord, she wants her husband to quit that smoking habit, that you would take away that desire to smoke, Lord God, that you would get that give him a bitter taste in his mouth for smoking cigarettes anymore. That would just, he would have no desire to one day wake up and say, I don't need these anymore. I don't want these anymore. That he would wake up a changed man, Lord God, that by thy Spirit, by the gift of thy moving Spirit, by the gift, O Lord God, of the power of thy right hand, that you can deliver this man from smoking. You can break that bondage, O Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name under the blood now, by faith, in agreement together, believing faith to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord God, that you can do all things right, good, and well to your glory. O Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen. And Lord, too, we also lift up these tithes, gifts, and offerings, O Lord. Give it unto Thee, Lord God. And we thank You for continuing to do a work and helping us, Lord, now. To be good stewards, O Lord, of the monies that You give. To further the gospel, O Lord God, as we work together as co-laborers. Co-laborers together. Working for the truth of the gospel. In a day, O Lord God, where there is just treachery, evil, and wicked plans by people all around looking to destroy the work, Your work, Lord God. But we here, Lord, at this church, and those that would join us together, would seek, O Lord, to do so for Your glory, that we could work together, Lord God, in the spirit of truth and love and understanding. O Lord God, we give You all the praise, the glory, and the honor for that. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. In agreement. Amen. Praise God. Sister?
I guess it's possible. Praise the Lord. Our God is good, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Sister Barb's request just reminded me of a recent talk I had with my sister Joyce, and this is interesting. I hadn't spoken with her for several months, and last night I had, her husband had been really seriously sick. He'd been in the hospital. They had found an aneurysm, and it was in a very serious location. And of course, I was praying with her and trying to help her. With all of that, and the Lord took him through that surgery, and then, you know, we had talked while he was in the hospital and convalescing, and finally went home, and you know, we just hadn't talked for quite a while since that time, so I was wondering how everything was going, and fairly, a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now, I called her, and she ended up calling me back, and you know, how's Jeff, and what's happened? And she began to just tell me a little bit that I hadn't realized before. And she said before that they had discovered the aneurysm, it was earlier this year, she had felt it in her heart to pray for him. And Joyce is going to like a Baptist church, but I know she truly believes in prayer and that God changes lives. And her husband does profess to be a Christian. But she had felt really concerned to pray for his health and the fact that he was a smoker. And so she had mentioned it to other people in the prayer group there, and they were praying for him. And then it all happened. He had a kidney stone, and they did some checking, an MRI, I think, and found an aneurysm. And therefore, he ended up having that surgically removed. But the thing was, once he was home, of course, he couldn't smoke in the hospital, but once he was home, he tried to smoke, and she said he just couldn't. He just couldn't. And then, I guess, one other time since that, he tried again. He tried one other time to smoke, and he just couldn't. And she, my sister Joyce, is just thanking God because that was an answer to a prayer that she had been praying, I'm sure, for a length of time also, that God would deliver him from those cigarettes. And it was just an amazing thing because, you know, we never know how God's going to answer. But, you know, he did. He heard that cry and that prayer. And, wow, that was just a real victory to realize that God had taken that from Jeff and that, you know, he no longer needed that. And so thank the Lord. And God does hear those prayers. And we're going to pray for Wayne. We're going to just trust God that that will go and that God will save him, that God will save his soul, and he'll be converted. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our God is so good. He is very faithful. I know it was one day last week I was cutting a squash and I was pressing down hard on the knife and all at once I realized, it wasn't even with a blade, but I pressed down and I realized I was bleeding. I just had this pot on my hand. It was bleeding quite severely. It was a big gash. And it was so big that I thought, oh no, I might need stitches for this. But, you know, I sat on the chair and pressed down on it and put a Band-Aid on it and talked to the Lord. And it was an amazing thing because, obviously, the bleeding stopped. And when I got home, I looked at the Band-Aid because it just, you know, it felt better. And lo and behold, as I looked under the Band-Aid, there was nothing but a little speck. And God had taken that spot and just sealed it. And I just thank the Lord. You know, I just know he answers prayer. He's so faithful and he's so good to us. And, you know, he is a prayer answering God. So I want to thank the Lord for that little miracle that meant so much. Oh, boy, praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord now as we begin this message here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, that you've given it to us. You've given us so much, Lord. And you said, to whom much is given, much is required. Oh, Lord, you've given us, oh, Lord, sound, strong doctrine, Lord. And oh, Lord, the availability of hearing thy word and a place to assemble, Lord, with like believers, God. And God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. God, that we'd take this word seriously, Lord, that you would talk to our hearts. God, I pray that you'd bind every contrary, hindering spirit, oh Lord, that would try to rise up here, God. Oh Lord, in your name, God, I come against any stronghold, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd open up our hearts. Oh God, it's the foolishness of preaching, oh Lord, that you've used to bring people to salvation, Lord. And God, I pray, oh God, that you'd use this tonight, God, that you would make us like you have us to be, Lord, like you want us to be, Lord, that, oh, new creature in you, Lord Jesus, oh God, that you would just take us, that you'd change us, that you'd mold us, that you'd reformat us, Lord God, oh Lord, that we might be your children, Lord, oh God, that we might stand strong in this day, oh Lord, when the enemy is coming down like a flood, Lord, oh God, that you would give us renewed strength, oh God, and willpower, oh Lord, that comes from you, Lord, strength from above, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we give this all to you, oh God, in Jesus' name, asking you to use this message. God, help us, oh Lord, give us ears to hear, oh God, a mind to perceive, eyes to see, Lord, a heart, oh Lord, that wants to be in accord with thy word, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, thank you, Lord, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I'm going to call this new creatures in Christ. And as we begin here tonight, I'm going to go to a familiar passage, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Go from there with the Lord's help and see where he takes us here tonight. But 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to just stop right there. And these beautiful passages tell us when God comes into our life, when he truly comes into our life, he changes us. He takes away the old and makes us new. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it means that everything that was against us in our past is forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. He cleanses us. He washes us in those waters of regeneration. And then he fills us with the Holy Ghost, and he makes us new creatures so that we don't have to live in our old sins, that we could be forgiven and restored to God. It's a beautiful thing. It's a message of reconciliation, where we're bought back, or we're restored to God. That fellowship that was lost is regained at those moments, and we can come to him and know that he is our Savior and our God and our Lord. And praise the Lord, he gives us a new opportunity, a new lease on life, a new chance to live for him. And our life changes. Oh, what a precious, wonderful thing. What an opportunity he's given us. And that 18th verse says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. In other words, our priorities change. Our goals change. All at once, what matters is what is of God. And, you know, our whole way of thinking, our whole way of life needs to change when we come to God. We know that in Matthew, Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. There's got to be a difference. I know so many people resist change. And when we come to God, if you don't change, then something is wrong. You know, you might have made a start. You might have made an attempt. You might have made a profession. But if you don't change, then something is wrong. You haven't really surrendered to God. You haven't really given your life to God. And you know, often there are many reluctances, it seems, for people to really want God's help, to really call upon him and surrender that will. You know, sometimes I get letters from people and they'll just have a dire need and they'll be crying out for help. And so, you know, I'll respond. I'll email them or write them or call them or whatever. And, you know, it's really something. You get down to the nitty-gritty sometimes. And all at once, they're okay. You know, they put the brakes on and, oh, this is getting a little bit too much, it seems like. And, you know, this person that was crying out for help, such dire need, all at once, oh, I'm okay. Well, okay, you know, I guess I can only help you so far then. But, and I know God continues to speak to the heart, but, you know, I've just noticed that resistance that human beings seem to have to change. It just seems a part of human nature so often to resist that. You know, people just want to hang on. They want to hang on to their past. You know, oh yeah, I'll come to God, but I still want to smoke those cigarettes, or I still want to go to the nightclubs. I still want to go to the dances. I want to go to the bars. I want to go to those parties. I want to go to the movies. You know, it goes on and on the list. People resist change often, but you know, the closer you get to God, the more you realize that you need to change. If we're going to be like God, oh boy, that's a tall order. If we're going to be like Jesus, then we're going to have to draw nigh to him and give him our life, and we're going to have to realize that we can't get there by ourselves, and there's no way. Our human flesh is like God, you know, without him taking us, without that surrender to his will and asking him to help us. You know, I startled, I think, the cashier at Trader Joe's last Friday. We often go to Trader Joe's in Madison, and they're quite friendly there usually as a whole, the people there, and often they ask you what you're going to do on the weekend, and I kind of like that. Often it leads to, you know, oh, some good things that I can respond to, and I've been able to witness to various ones of them and give them tracts and all that sort of thing. Well, this last Friday, it was a man, I always thought of him as the Hawaiian man. He kind of looked to me like he's from Hawaii. Not sure that he really is, but, you know, my reaction. And you know, they're like I said, they're pretty friendly there. You know, if, you know, they don't let you wait in line usually real long, and, you know, they'll come and get you and say, hey, my line is open. Would you like to come there? And so anyway, you know, it's kind of a nice, you know, story in so many ways. But anyway, so here was this man chatting here and asking the typical question, you know, what I was going to do on the weekend. And so I said, well, yeah, I guess I'll be cooking and baking, and we'll have prayer meeting, and we'll go to church. And then I had asked God, I said, Lord, help me today to help somebody and have words to say. And I said, you know, I just really love to see lives change. I really love to see people give their lives to the Lord and change. And he's just looking so, so startled in it. I just went on and said, you know, just so few people seem to realize that they really need to give their life to the Lord, and that they're going to stand before him one of these days and give an account of their life, and that they really need to get right with God. And he's just looking at me so, so startled and so changed, like I really had struck a nerve. But, you know, I think he needs to hear that. Who knows just what was going on in his heart. But that it is so true, you know? People are so prone to their old ways and so stuck in their old ways. But, you know, God has made a way. If we're to be reconciled to Jesus Christ, then we've got to be willing to surrender our life and lay it down and give it to him and let him work in us. You know, we can't do it ourselves. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags, and we're not going to make it on our own merits. There's no way we can enter in unless we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's first in our life. He's foremost. All things are of God. In other words, our priorities have become his priorities. Our life has become his. And, you know, we've given it to him. So what matters is what he wants us to do, what his will is, not what we think, what we want. It's what God wants. So praise the Lord, he does change us. He does change us when we truly come to him. And I'm so thankful. Let's also go to the Old Testament right now. God's people often have had a struggle, as I have said, in giving everything over to the Lord. But the Lord had made provisions. Even in Old Testament prophecy, he talked about that new way. We knew that the old covenant wasn't sufficient to bring people to Christ. You know, even when he led them out of Egypt into the wilderness, the children of Israel, he led them. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was how he led them. But there was going to be a new way. Under the new covenant, the Lord was going to put his spirit within his people so that they could hear that voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. And I want to show you some scripture here from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Let's look at verse 24. And here the Lord is talking through Ezekiel, a prophet, and he said, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Oh, what a beautiful provision the Lord has made. He's talking about sprinkling with clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. You know, we go down into the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, and those old things are passed away. At that point, all things become new when we go down into those waters. Those waters of baptism in the name of Jesus. And you know, there in 1 Peter, it's told us how those waters of baptism save us. But it says, not the washing of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. He gives us a good conscience when we come up out of the water. We no longer have those sins in our life. They're remitted in those waters of baptism. So we can answer. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Therefore, because our sins are gone, they're remitted, they're paid for, they're over, we can come up with a clear conscience so that one day we can stand before God and face Him. I mean, how are you going to face God otherwise with sin? A God who cannot tolerate sin, who hates sin, is an abomination to Him. It separates us from Him. But He made a way that we could come to Him first in repentance and surrendering our will to God. And then He made a way that we would go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then with a promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit that we put within us. Of course, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Oh, praise the Lord, by His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, as it says in Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, that was washing of regeneration to make us new, to change us, to make us His own people. Those waters of regeneration, those waters work. You know, He puts His Spirit in us so that we can know the way to go, that we can hear that still small voice speaking to our soul. We can know how to go and how to do and what to say and to be led by the Spirit of God. He puts that in us. Those washing, that wonderful washing of regeneration keeps us too. You know, these things, I know John wrote that, he wrote unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And those waters of regeneration flow continually to cleanse us and purify us, to take care of that sin. And oh, aren't we thankful? We're so thankful that we have these opportunities that the Lord has given us, these options, that sprinkling of clean water upon you, as it says in Ezekiel, this 36th chapter, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. He's not talking about the filthiness of the flesh here. He's talking about the filthiness of sin, as it states there in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And it says, ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he said, a new heart will I give you. A new heart. He's going to put His Spirit within you, he said. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, that rebellious spirit, that thing that separated you from God. Oh my, all of that. He said, you take it away and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, a heart that's tender, that can be touched by God, that can be altered, that can be changed, so it can be conformed to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. He puts that within us to mold us, to shape us, to make us His own. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, and I will put my Spirit within you. Oh, praise the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, that Spirit fell, didn't it? You know, that Spirit of the Holy Ghost came. You know, Jesus had told His disciples of the need to be converted. He said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's from Matthew, the 18th chapter. that need to be converted or transformed, and something had to change. You know, Jesus spoke to Simon Peter in Luke, the 22nd chapter. You know, he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat." Oh, Satan had an angle on Simon Peter. He saw potential there, and he wanted that man. But Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when thou art changed, when thou art transformed, strengthen thy brethren." And praise the Lord, Peter didn't have that strength. He thought he did at that point. He thought he could stand up. He thought he could die for Jesus. He soon found out that he didn't have that strength in him. But praise the Lord, something happened on the day of Pentecost when that Holy Ghost fell on Simon Peter. Suddenly he was standing up there among all the rest of them and telling them all that they had crucified the Son of God and that they needed to come to him, that they needed to be changed, that they needed to be converted, that there needed to be a transformation in their life. He spoke up because God had changed him. God had put his spirit within him. He was no longer that same cowardly man that couldn't stand up when the test of time came upon him. He could stand now. He was bold. And we know, oh Lord, that he stood up, that he did a wonderful work for the Lord. I know he led many to the Lord, Jesus, and his epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, just, are a beautiful testimony of somebody who lived a transformed life. Praise the Lord. But God had a way. He had a provision. And he talked about how there would be a time of reformation. Even here in Ezekiel, as it continues, looking at various verses. Verse 31, it says, "Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations." That's really something. When the Lord shows us our hearts and we realize what sin is and what it's done to our lives, suddenly it's like all at once you can see the horrendousness of sin. And here, that's exactly what he's talking about here, Ezekiel. You're going to loathe yourself in your own sight. You're going to hate sin. You're going to want no part of it. And all your abominations, those despicable things, that God hates, those loathsome things that, separated you from God. And praise the Lord. Verse 33 says, "Thus saith the Lord, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded." Oh, praise the Lord. There's a change in our lives. Suddenly there's hope. Suddenly there's a testimony. Suddenly we can stand up and be strong for the Lord. The Lord does a work in our life. And the thing is, people see it. They can see the changes in our life. It talks about in verse 34 here in Ezekiel, "And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by." All at once, there's going to be changes. "And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited." Tremendous changes in a life. "Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it." Always proclaiming when lives would be changed, when the heathen would know, when it would be recognizable that God had came into a life, he'd entered into a life and changed it. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. And you know, I quoted a bit from Isaiah 30 just a few minutes ago, but just turning there quickly. Isaiah 30. Verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is a way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." That's talking about that time period of the new covenant, this wonderful, glorious period of time that we walk in now, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, He speaks to our soul. We don't have to go to the prophets to hear what the Lord says. As they did under the old covenant, they depended upon their teachers to tell them what was necessary to do. It speaks of that in the verse above there, verse 20. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but then I shall see thy teachers. In other words, you're going to hear the words of the Lord speaking to you personally. He's our personal Savior. He comes into each and every one of our lives to change us. And when you're listening to the Lord, when you're responding, you hear His voice saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. He speaks to our soul, and we can know the way in which we are to go. And then, that's the 22nd verse. It talks about that spirit of repentance. Oh, our changed life. Listen, don't tell me you're a Christian and not be changed. You know, if you're living the same way that you've always lived and still professing to be a Christian, oh my, it's not a true claim. It's not true at all, because there's going to be something in your life. You're going to all at once loathe those old things. You're going to hate those old things. You're not going to want to live in your sins. You're going to want to do better than that and be like the Lord. And here verse 22 says, here in Isaiah 30, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. In other words, you're going to just hate those things, those garments of sin, those things that separated you from God all at once. It's going to be a different way of thinking. You're going to have a different heart, that soft, tender heart towards God, and those things of the past are suddenly going to be something despicable, something that you despise. You're going to want to get rid of those graven images, those idols in your life, those things that you once esteemed and thought were important. It's all going to be different. You're going to want to get rid of them, cast them away as a menstruous cloth, something ugly and horrendous. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Oh, get out of here. I don't want any part of it. I don't want anything to do with it. That's what a changed life is. Oh, one that's departed from the past. One that's allowed the Lord to work in one's life and change. Let's go to Luke, the 19th chapter 2. We have the perfect story there. Here of a changed life. And if we look at Luke 19, we have Jesus entering into Jericho. And it must have been rumored around that Jesus was coming. There was a man, his name was Zacchaeus, and it tells us in verse 2 that he was chief among the publicans. He was way up there on their ladder, so to speak, and he was rich. He was rich. But in spite of that, this man had something in his heart. The Lord was talking to him, in spite of the fact that he was chief. The chief among the publicans, the top man, it seems, among the tax collectors, the publicans, and very rich. God was tugging at his heart, and it says he sought to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press. It says because he was little of stature, he's just a little man, he was short. Others were taller than him, obviously. But again, God was tugging at his heart, and he was going to see Jesus. If nothing else, he was going to see Jesus. And so he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And praise the Lord, Jesus, God in the flesh, knew that Zacchaeus was in the sycamore tree. Maybe no one else saw him up there. Maybe no one else knew, but Jesus knew. And the thing is, Jesus knew the heart. He knew that there was a longing in this man. And he knew if he confronted Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus was going to change. So praise the Lord. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He saw him in the sycamore tree and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the thing is, Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Of course, the others murmured and said, oh, why, Jesus went again to be with sinners, a guest with a man that is a sinner. They mumbled, they complained, they couldn't understand it, but Jesus was concerned about the heart. He didn't care what other people thought. He was looking at the heart. He was looking for somebody that had that meek and contrite spirit who would be touched by the Spirit of God and allow God to change his life. He was looking for such a person, and here he was, the tax collector, the chief among them. Here he was, and he could be touched. And he went to his house. Oh, praise the Lord. And obviously, I don't know what the talk was all about because it's not given us here in the scripture exactly what they talked about. But Zacchaeus stood, it says in verse 8, and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Oh, he was convicted. There was that conviction that rose in his heart, and he wanted to make everything right. That's what true repentance does. It talks to you. You no longer want to stay in your sin. You want to live above that. And if there's some way that you've hurt somebody or hindered them or harmed them, you want to get it right. And so here he is. He repented that day. And you know, those riches no longer matter to him. He said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And he said, if I've taken anything falsely from any man, I'm going to restore him fourfold. I'm going to give him four times as much as what I took from him. Oh, praise the Lord. Something had happened in his heart. And if we truly meet Jesus Christ, if we truly meet him, something will happen in our hearts too. We won't stay the same. We won't hold on to all those grudges and all those spirits of unforgiveness and all that hard thing and all that love for things in this world. All at once, things are different when Jesus comes in. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Oh my, it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus came to this world to save sinners from sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that, but not everybody wants to admit that. Not all people want to acknowledge the fact that they need a Savior, but Zacchaeus saw it that day and gave his life to the Lord in repentance and surrender to the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord does such a work on his people. He came to save us from our sins. And praise the Lord, they didn't always get that, did they? You know, a lot of them were looking for a deliverer from the Roman bondage. They wanted to be saved from their Roman rule, and they didn't want to acknowledge the fact that they needed salvation from their sins, you know. So many of them couldn't go there at all, and therefore couldn't even see Jesus as anything but a man, the son of Joseph, so they thought. But he came to save us. That was his purpose. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Here in this chapter of 1 Corinthians, we have a whole list of things that separate people from God, a whole list of things, oh my, and we're going to read it right here in the 9th verse. It says here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Have any of these things in your life? you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's just made very clear here in the scripture. But verse 11 tells us, and such were some of you. But praise the Lord, it says, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Lord made a provision so we didn't have to live in our old sin, so we could be converted, so we could come to God, so we could have changed lives. He made a provision. We could be washed. We could be washed in those waters of baptism. We could be sanctified, made holy in the sight of God, the infilling of the Holy Ghost that comes into our life to dwell. We could be justified, made just in His sight, righteous in the sight of God. And by the Spirit of our God, the Lord made a provision. Oh, I'm so thankful how the Lord takes our life and transforms us, takes us out of the world of darkness, and changes us. He's made provisions for us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter here. And here it talks about things in people's past. But, you know, if you're going to live for God, they go. It says in verse 2 here in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, things that were in secret, things that were not honest. They're renounced, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Oh my, so many people stand up there watering down the word of God, trying to make it fit their own plan, their own will, their own emotions. That's handling the word of God deceitfully. But it continues, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're all going to stand before God, and it takes the foolishness of preaching to bring people to salvation. It takes that. And then it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If we hide our light under a bushel, so to speak, then nobody will see. If we're living in sin, then we're no longer a light to this world. It's like the gospel is hid. And it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They're out there in the darkness, not knowing the way. Who's going to point it out to them? If you're living in sin, if your life hasn't been changed, then you're not going to be able to help them. The world will not see the light of Jesus in you. They will not know the gospel through you. But it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Oh, there's a blinding that's happened in the lives of so many people. Their hearts have been hardened and their eyes have been blinded to the truth of the gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, just shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's what we're preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing of ourselves. We all be utterly foolishness to preach our own gospel. And verse 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, oh, just as He called the light out of darkness, there in His creative powers, there in the beginning, He has shined in our hearts. There was a call that came to each and every one of us who have been redeemed and reconciled to God. He commanded that light to shine out of the darkness of our life when we could not see, when we were aliens and foreigners from the plan of God, when we had no part in the family of God. God commanded that light to shine. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. What a change He makes in our hearts, in our lives. And I'm so thankful for lives that are changed. Oh my, that come to the Lord. I know just thinking about some changed lives. I know here in this ministry, we are able to work with certain individuals in prisons. And you know, it's amazing. Nobody wants to go to prison, of course. But, you know, it's happened that while in prison, God has spoken to people. And suddenly in that quiet time, oh my, when life wasn't so busy, maybe they weren't quite a being mingling with everybody else and all of that, God has talked to people. And we've had the experience of communicating with various individuals who have been transformed by the light of the gospel. And I know I was thinking of Brother Harry Robinson there in Portage, who actually, he was a murderer. And he's in prison, and he's in there for life, unless the Lord would make a change on that sentence. But something happened to Harry a few years ago while he was in prison. The light of the glorious gospel shone in his heart. And God made a way. There was actually a chaplain there who knew the Lord. And Harry found Jesus, and he was actually baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's different. He's different. And you know, he wants to preach to everybody. You know, if you get a letter from Harry, you know, he's just got the scripture coming in and out of his mouth. It's a beautiful thing because God touched him. No matter what his past was like, God reached down and touched him and changed him. That's what the gospel will do. It changes lives. We don't stay the same. And you know, you get to that place, that old past is gone. Oh, all things become new. We're new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God. You know, there's other people. There's Brother Costas there in the Netherlands. And oh, so thankful for him and his dear wife. And you know what? Costas found the Lord while he was in jail also there in Texas for some time. And it's a beautiful thing. I know he thanks the Lord for that downtime, so to speak, because that's where he began to pick up the Bible, and that's where the scripture came alive in his heart and began to change him. And oh boy, he couldn't get enough of the scripture. And wow, I'll tell you what, Brother Costas is a changed man. I'll tell you that. I know he writes to Brother Tim and myself, and we know that what the glorious gospel has done in his life. Praise the Lord. And all of you sitting here have testimonies how God has changed you, how God has come into your life and made all things new, oh, how you were converted and how life became new. I know, just even thinking of Rob and Tori, just who newly come into our church family here, and how they confessed how different their life was before God began to speak to their hearts. You know, God has so worked in that family. They're all six of them have been stirred by the gospel. And oh my, I thank God for that. I thank God for what he's done. But what a difference that glorious gospel makes in our lives. What a wonderful difference it makes in our life. It changes us so that we don't want to be the same as we always were before. We have a different will and a different drive, different ambitions, different goals. Praise the Lord. He makes us over. He makes us new. Yeah. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter here for a few minutes here. Let's look at verse 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, that precious plan of God, foreordained before the foundation of the world, that God would come to earth, that he would put on flesh, to redeem us, that perfect Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. It says in verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Nothing pretentious. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Oh my, praise the Lord. And that's what the gospel does. It gives us a love one for another out of a pure heart. That's signs of being changed. We don't love one another, how can we love God? In 1 John, John wrote, if you know we can't love one another whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? And then it tells us in verse 23 here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, we've had this wonderful opportunity to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And it changes. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus there in John 4 that you had to be born again. And it changed us because now we have the everlasting life of Jesus Christ flowing through us. We were once of corruptible flesh, stuff that flesh that decays and rots. But he puts that spirit of the living God in us, that living water, that spirit that leads to everlasting life, incorruptibly. We're born again. Amen. And we're changed, and it makes a difference. Earlier in that chapter, in verse 14, it says, obedient as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. There's a change in us when the Lord comes into our life. We no longer want to be as we once were. That desire is gone. You know, it doesn't matter what everybody else says or thinks or what the fashions of this world are. We're trying to please our God. We're submitting to God. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. We all know what, before we knew the Lord, we did things in ignorance, didn't realize how dreadfully disgusting the old life was. And a true, even it talks about fashioning, and you talk about fashions, and you see, oh my, how deceivable they are, how misleading and how rotten they are, you know. But God's children don't pattern themselves in those ways. We have to live above that and beyond that. It says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, the things we didn't know. Yes, they're behind. We forget them. We leave them behind. We regret them, yes. But they're no longer a part of our life when we give it to the Lord, and we don't live in the old ways. We don't live in the old sins. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, as it says in Romans, the 12th chapter. We give our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And we're transformed. We're converted by the renewing of our minds. As we give it to the Lord, as we let him operate in our lives, as we hand it over to God, he takes us, he transforms us, he changes us, he converts us so that we're different. Our whole thought process changes, our way of thinking, our acting, dressing, talking. It changes because we've given our life to the Lord. We've been born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. He does a work in our life so that we don't want to change. And, you know, the book of Acts is full of conversions, true conversions that happened. We know in the 19th chapter of Acts, a church formed in the city of Ephesus. And those people, the Lord really worked. And I don't know if I have time to go through all the mighty works that were going on there. It was a wonderful thing. Paul at first went into the synagogues to speak with the people. He stayed there 3 months until that got ugly, obviously. But then the Lord had another plan, and he was able to speak daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And what a wonderful thing. He spoke there for 2 years, the scripture tells us. And amazingly, in that time period, it said, all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. The Lord used that time period. Oh, he couldn't speak in the synagogues after a short time. But then God gave him this other opportunity. He opened up this school. And he was able to speak in such a way that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the gospel. What an opportunity. And it talks about all the wonderful miracles that were wrought by the hands of Paul. And it was so wonderful that they even brought handkerchiefs and aprons and just asked Paul to pray over them. And signs and wonders were happening. Diseases were departing from their bodies because the people had faith. And they gave heed to the gospel and they were changed. And it says evil spirits went out of them. And then it talks about certain vagabond Jews that, you know, were attempting to take the power of God and use it without that authority. They're imitating what Paul was doing and trying to exercise evil spirits. And of course, we know that didn't work. There were these seven sons of Sceva and those evil spirits as they tried to adjure spirits to come out. But Jesus, whom Paul preached, that those spirits leaped on them and they ran out naked and wounded, the scripture tells us. But the Lord used that. It was negative. The Lord used that, though, because that spread, what the Lord had done there and what he was doing there in Ephesus spread in such a wonderful way. It says in verse 17 in Acts 19, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, talking about those evil spirits that had leaped upon these Jewish people here, these Jew and chief of the priests actually there, those seven sons of one Sceva. And it was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And it says fear fell on them. All that fear and reverence for God and that realizing you don't fool with God. You don't pretend with God. You can't try to imitate something and have God's favor. It's not going to work. It was really known to them. And it says the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It multiplied, it grew, it sat upon them, it talked to their hearts, and it said, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They showed their deeds. They came to the knowledge of the truth. They realized, you can't hide sin. If I'm going to stand before God, I've got to get right. There was that conviction that came to the hearts of these people, and it says they came. Many believed. They came and confessed and showed their deeds. They showed their deeds. They wanted to get rid of sins. And obviously, it was a time period such as today. We live in a period of time when, oh my, the works of the flesh are pretty rampant, and people are into Eastern religions and astrology and curious arts and all those kind of sorcery type of things, witchcraft, and all of that is common in our land today and even hidden under many coverings often. But here, they came to the Lord. It says in verse 19, in this 19th chapter, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Oh my, see, something was happening in their hearts. They realized they needed to repent and get right with God. They were going to stand before God. We can only get there so we can realize that time is short. Oh, we don't have days and days and days to get right. You can't put off your salvation and think that God's going to make a spot for you sometime. Oh, possibly, but oh, quite likely not. If you put off such a wonderful salvation as God has given us. But here, the Lord was working in hearts. He was changing lives. They were convicted. And they came and they confessed and they showed their deeds. They brought it out. They were ready to get rid of it. And those things, oh, that were not right, they went through their houses. And all these things that were poking out, these idols, these certain things, these books, these other things of the flesh that just convicted them, suddenly were to be rid of. They despised them. They wanted to get rid of them as a menstruous cloth and say, "Get thee hence, get out of here, get out of my life." They wanted to be changed. And here he talks about how they brought their books that pertain to witchcraft, obviously, curious arts. They brought them, they burned them. And it was something of value. It didn't matter. 50,000 pieces of silver, quite a bit of value. Isn't it time to get rid of the idols in one's life? Isn't it time to give things to the Lord? Isn't it time to go through our house and just see if there's anything in that house that doesn't pertain to God, that's a detriment, that's an idol, that's something that could stand between you and God? Isn't it time to look through that? Here they did that. They examined it. Oh, they tossed it out. That television set went. Those movies went. Whatever it was, those books went. They went. They didn't want them anymore because God had interrupted their lives. Oh, praise the Lord, the light of the glorious gospel had changed. And praise the Lord, there was a revival. There was a revival because people repented. God sent a revival. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, oh my, if people would just get their lives right with God, renounce those hidden things of dishonesty, those crafty things, those hidden things, those things that do not pertain to a Christian life, all those things would go in a person's life. Oh my. It certainly is time. It's certainly time to see that our life is in accord with the plan of God. You know, that day is soon coming when we're all going to stand before Him. Let's look at Luke, the 6th chapter here for a moment. You know, the 46th verse here, Luke 6 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So many people just try to sneak in another way. Jesus said, if you try to come up another way, the same as a thief and a robber, there's only one way to God. And he tells us in this chapter, in verse 43, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." It comes out. There's fruits that manifest. You can't hide things forever in one's life. Of course, Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" A lot of people try to sneak in. You know, Jesus talked about those that would say to him, "Lord, we prophesied in thy name. In thy name, we cast out devils. In thy name, we've done mighty, notable works, mighty, wonderful works." But Jesus said there, I believe it's in Matthew, the 7th chapter, "But I will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Their heart wasn't right. They hadn't repented. They were living with things in their life. They were trying to do the works of God. I know Titus, the first chapter, talks about people that profess with their mouth that they know God, but their works deny it. There's a lot of people that think they're Christians. They think they're living right. But we're going to stand before God. He's going to judge us by the book. By the things that He's esteemed important. And it's going to be so important that we would have given heed to the things that the Lord has asked of His people. He doesn't ask hard, horrible things of us. In fact, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your souls." His way is easy. We give our burdens to the Lord, and He makes a way for us. He shows us. He teaches us. You know, on that last day, in the 13th chapter of Luke, it talks about people that are going to say, "Lord, we've eaten and drunk in Thy presence, and Thou hast taught in our streets." People thought they knew the Lord. They were acquainted with Him. But He shall say, "I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." We will not be able to stand before the Lord and have iniquity in our heart. We will not be able to do that. The good tree is going to be known by its good fruit. The evil tree will be known by its evil fruit. It's all going to be so clear on that day when we stand before the Lord. But praise the Lord, we can come to the Lord. We can give Him our lives. We can make adjustments in our life. He still has given us moments of time to come before Him. And I'm so thankful for the opportunities that the Lord gives His people. Let's, as we get ready to close here, go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And here it tells us how to live. It has, oh, some wonderful words of admonition here in the 3rd chapter of Colossians. First verse, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Your ambitions, your goals are things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It says in verse 2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Our way of thinking is different. Our loves are different. They're to be set on things above, not on things on earth. It says, "For you are dead." In other words, dead to the old life, dead to sin. "And your life is hid with God in Christ." When Christ, who is our life, He becomes everything. When we come to God, all things are of God. Our ambitions, our goals, our desires are of God. It says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." That day, oh my, when He comes, when He appears, if He's our life, if we've been hidden in Christ, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And then it tells us in verse 5, "Mortify," or destroy, "therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence," or lustful desires or appetites, "covetousness," which is idolatry, "for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." See, we all had that old past in our ignorance. "In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, that desire to harm or hurt others, or see others harmed, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And verse 10, and have put on the new man. Oh, he changed us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And have put on the new man, it says here in Colossians, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, we begin to pattern our life after Jesus. He's the image that we're imitating. Amen. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. And then it tells us, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He puts a new song in our heart. The songs of the world don't pertain to us anymore. That's all cut off. It's gone. You know, I know the Lord, when he began to really change me, you know, I just decided if he'd given me any talent that I was going to give it to the Lord. I was going to, if I was going to play the piano, I was going to do it unto the Lord. It was going to play his music. He changes us. He puts a new song in our heart, a new goal. And so let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We have to seek after his ways, his will, his word, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord comes into our lives to transform us, to change us, to make us his own, to make us his own peculiar treasure. And what a privilege it is, oh my, when he comes into our life to change us. We can be changed into that glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, there has to be a willingness to change. There has to be a willingness to submit to the Lord. But truly, if we can give it to the Lord and surrender our will and let him work in us, we can become that new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Shirley. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful message. Very good. So I think all I can do is look in the mirror and I hear a message like that. All I can do is look at my life and say, okay, let me start checking boxes here because I need to take stock of where I need to change. Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, is a song I'm looking for, so bear with me if you will. Okay. It's called 88, number 88 in the chorus. Fill my cup, Lord, and we could go there, you know, and sing that as unto the Lord, and you know, he truly is that bread of heaven. He is that water of life that we all need, that thirsting for our soul, that we can be quenched whenever we partake of that Spirit of God, amen. And we can know that we can be fulfilled and satisfied with that kind of bread and that kind of water that the Lord only can give, and not any man. But I thank God for the Word of God, and how that we can be changed by the Word and by His Spirit. Amen. We could just go there. Sing that. Fill my cup. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty need of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty need of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Praise God. Be dismissed unto prayer, will you? Amen.
So many different programs, so many
things. What they do, what
jerk us around. They shut the programs down, you see. They jerk us around, but they sham the charade.
You know what? They said the last time this happened, Clinton was in office.
Yeah.
And it was 28 days. But you know what? I don't remember. I don't remember any big hoopla.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, Sam, you searched the whole car. Oh, well, I have to get some cat food over to you guys tomorrow anyway. So I'll just call her in the morning when I think she's up. And maybe I can do a swap, a baby for some cat food. Okay. See you later.